Good evening, Calvary Community Church. It's so good to see all of you. I've got a few questions. You don't have to raise your hand to answer these questions. How many of you feel really exhausted? Don't raise your hands. Physically, mentally, spiritually. How many of you feel like you are struggling in an area and you just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel? You want to give up. You just cannot go on. Maybe you're praying for someone to change. Everything is changing but that someone. Or maybe you are the kind of person who pretends that everything is well. You lead a double life. You have to show that you're strong. You know, you may be the head of the family, or you may be the head of your business organization. They know, if people know that you are weak, you know, everything else falls. Today, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. If you are that person who is weary, tired, about to give up, today God wants to tell you that He is here to renew your strength. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you are here and that you love each one of us. Your desire is that, Lord, we would lead that abundant life of purpose as you have planned for each one of us. And Lord, I pray that every word that I utter would not be my own thoughts and ideas, but would be what the Holy Spirit wants each one of your children here to learn and to know. And Lord, I pray that everyone here would leave this sanctuary different, would leave this sanctuary a different human being with their minds and their thoughts and their lives renewed, that they would have that strength, O Lord, that they never had before to face the challenges of life. We thank you, Lord, that you are here and that the precious presence of the Holy Spirit is here to teach us. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, this term renew here, there's so many ways to understand the term renew. You renew your license, you renew your passport. That means something that you already have, you're just extending its period of usage. You renew. Sometimes the word renew is interchanged with the word resume. You know, a company that is shut down is renewing its operations. That means it's going back and starting its function. But here, in this context, Isaiah 40, 31, for those who hope in the Lord will renew their hope, they will be renewed in their strength. The word renew here, the Hebrew word is chadas. Chadas means to be made new. So it's very different from the context of renewing your passport. Renewing your passport is the old you, same you. Nothing else really changed, just the expiry date. Here it's renew, it's something made new. You know, our God is in the business of new creation. He doesn't do overhauls. He doesn't do repairs. He doesn't do readjustments. He creates everything new. So when he is talking about renewing your strength, it's a new strength. There was a letter from a widow to a pastor. Dear pastor, I am 92 years old. So what? Please pray that I would have the strength to bring more souls to Christ. 92 years old. And in Joshua chapter 1, we see so many times, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Again and again we hear this word, be strong and courageous. When we renew ourselves, we are talking of being strong and courageous. Renewing our strength to be strong. Now, there are many idiosyncrasies of our God, many characters of our God. One of it is omnipotent. You know what's the meaning of omnipotent? Almighty. And if we were to see in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, the last part, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Our God is almighty. That's his character. He is omnipotent. There's nobody else who is omnipotent. Only he is omnipotent. He is almighty. Now the question is, why is he almighty? Why is your father and my father omnipotent? Why is he almighty? See, God's greatness is not just that he is strong, but that he is strong for you and for me. His strength is not for himself. His strength is for you and for me. Exodus chapter 15 verse 2. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The omnipotent God is my strength. That is mind-boggling. That means the omnipotent God, the almighty God, is my strength to face whatever circumstance there is right now in my life. I have the strength of the omnipotent God. What more can I ask for? Yet sometimes I'm weak. Yet sometimes I struggle. And the only reason that occurs, I've realized, is because I choose not to exchange my weakness for his strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. The latter part, the Apostle Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I come to God's presence, I exchange my hate for his love. I exchange my impatience for his patience. I exchange my sadness for his joy. I exchange my anxiety for his peace. I exchange my disobedience for his self-control. I exchange all my weakness for his strength. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. God wants to renew our strength. You and I have got everything that we need to go through that disease, to go through that breakup, to go through that failure in marriage, to go through the difficult situation in our working place. You and I, we have everything that we need. Now, how do I get this strength? It is through an exchange in a place called the presence of God. Isaiah 35. Can I just see that? Isaiah 35. starting from verse 1, I think. Okay, if you have your Bibles. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees. Say to those with fearful hearts. Hands, knees, and heart. You want to be strong? I want to be strong. Steady the hands. Hands represent worship. We want to be strong, we start by worshiping God in His presence. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen and Amen. The lifting of hands in worship. Now, I used to come from a traditional-based church. And it took me some time to actually understand that lifting of hands to worship God is something not about tradition, but it's something biblical. It's in the Word of God. And when I was growing in this traditional church, there used to be many excuses people would give for not lifting their hands. And as I grew older and I started to see, you know, when I go everywhere, everyone's lifting hands. And I used to be part of those traditional group of people. Oh, these are holy, holy people, man. They're really lifting their hands. Their hands must be really light. That's why they can just swing it and lift it all the time. And you know the excuses we used to come up with? I will lift my hands when I go to heaven. I will lift my hands when I go to heaven. Psalm 63 verse 4. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Psalm 63 verse 4. Or some people say, I won't lift up my hands. I will lift up my heart. I will lift up my heart. Have you heard that? I will lift up my heart. No need. These people all show off. They're lifting up their... I just lift up my heart. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 41. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. It's from the Word of God. Excuse number 3. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us to lift our hands in church. I've heard that. Oh, when I'm alone with the Lord, I lift my hands. In the church, I don't have to lift my hands. God just sees what I do in secret. Psalm 134 verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. And final excuse we always hear. Lifting up of hands only found in the Old Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands. So that is why in Psalms 35, it is written, strengthen the feeble hands and strengthen the hands to worship. In our traditional church, we used to only lift up the hands once in a year. You know when? Church committee meeting. You lift the hands to vote one person in and to get another person. Do vote one person out and to get a person in. That's the only time we used to lift our hands. I went for an AOG camp. And this was really hardcore. I don't know how someone told me there are good musicians there in that camp. Please go. So I also just went for the camp. You know, a few of us traditional people. And then they said, everyone lift your hands. We just lifted the hands like this. Tell you something. I was going through my notes and I saw here, I mean, not the notes, I was going through this tab. The first time I started sharing in this church was May 26, 2018. 1 week from today, 5 years. I have no theological background. But I want to tell you something. today, I want to lift my hands and worship God and praise God for His love, for His grace, for His mercy, for His guidance, for His counsel. In the name of Jesus. I don't care what any traditional church says, but I know that I'm here because of the grace of God. And I want to lift my hands and praise Him and worship Him for that. Worship. Worship with your hands in the presence of God and have your strength renewed. Second thing, steady the knees that give way. Hands represent worship. Knees, prayer. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar. He rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. When we kneel before the presence of God, it represents prayer. And the verse that comes into my mind during prayer is the word commit. Commit. Proverbs 16 verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit. When we go into prayer, commit. You know why sometimes when we go into our prayer closet and we come out of our prayer closet the same? You know why? Because we didn't pray. We just complained. You know, the word commit, actually, the Hebrew word is galal. Now, galal means rolling over. And that term comes from the camels. Those days in the desert, they would actually put heavy loads on the camel. And the irony is, the camels that were younger and stronger, they would put more load on those camels. The younger and stronger camels. And you know, you've heard the term as stubborn as a mule. Sometimes it's stubborn as a camel as well. Sometimes some people can be as stubborn as a camel. Husbands don't look at wives, wives don't look at husbands. We're not talking about you all. So what happens to this camel, actually, when the load is more than it can take? You know what it does? With its front legs, it will bend down and roll over the heavy load. That's what the camel does. When we go into prayer, and when we commit our burdens to God, we are rolling over everything to God. How can you and I come out feeling the same? It's because sometimes for us, we go to God, we keep everything at His feet, we come back and we wait. And wait. And wait. Nothing is happening. Go back, take it, and carry it again. Commit to the Lord. You want to be strong? Worship God. Pray. And the third thing, have a heart that is surrendered. Be strong and courageous. This was told to Joshua 7 times. Because Joshua was going to take over this new responsibility from Moses. And he was told 7 times to be strong and courageous. 3 times God told him. 3 times Moses told him. 1 time the people told him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Today, the Holy Spirit wants to tell to each one of us, be strong and courageous. He wants to put a word in your heart, be strong and courageous. What the Holy Spirit wants to tell each one of us is, you are going to win. just be strong and courageous. You are going to overcome. Just be strong and courageous. You are going to get that job. Just be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. That is what God wants us. That's why He wants to renew our strength to be strong and courageous. Now, there is one particular character of this strength that comes from God that you and I have to understand. You see, first of all, we have to understand that even when we were sinners, that there was a point in our time in our lives when we were without any strength. We were sinners without strength. We were easy preys to the devil. But because of His grace, He came in, saved us, and gave us that strength. Because Romans chapter 5 verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." We were without strength. The strength that you and I have today to face everything in life, we have from the Lord. But there is a character in the strength. And this is the problem that I had when I was reading this word. Why is it that the day that I got saved, that one time I accepted the Lord as my Savior, the day I got saved, I received this strength for a lifetime? That moment, I get strength for a lifetime. The nature of this strength from the Lord is it has to be infused daily. You know, we hear sometimes great men of God who fall. I mean, 2 years ago, this guy gave everything up for the Lord. And now he's in a financial scandal in the church. Why? You cannot depend on the grace and on the mercy and on the strength of the Lord 2 years ago. You and I need strength every day. Psalm 68 verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits." The strength that I had yesterday died yesterday. I need strength for today. The strength that I need for tomorrow, I cannot use today's strength for tomorrow. I need strength for today and I need strength for tomorrow. That is why I have to come before the presence of the Lord daily. You know, when we say this word, the prayer that God, that Jesus taught His disciples, "Give us this day our daily bread." I found that statement to be very paradoxical, no? Initially I found it to be quite a silly statement. "Give us this day our daily bread." Why can't you just say, "Give us this day our bread"? Give us this day our daily bread. What I understood was, give us this day our daily bread. The bread that I get for today is for today, not for tomorrow. When you talk about bread, it's not that physical bread, wholemeal bread or five fiber bread or six fiber bread. The Word of God says in John chapter 6 verse 51, "I am the living bread." Jesus Christ is the bread. The bread today is His Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word is God and God is the Word. "I am the living bread. Give us this day our daily bread." I need my strength for today. The strength that I get for today will die tonight by 12 midnight. I need strength for tomorrow. I come before his presence for my strength for tomorrow. My strength for next week, I will get next week. But I cannot use today's strength for tomorrow. I cannot depend on last year's strength for today. The character and nature of God's strength is a daily infusion. You and I have to have this strength from God on a daily basis. Every day we have to get into his presence. And that is why people fail. They depend. They were once great. They were once anointed. But you and I cannot lean and depend on that anointing of the past. We need daily grace, daily wisdom, daily healing, daily counsel. Renew. The Lord wants to renew our strength. Now, the second part I would like to say is, he wants to renew our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The renewal of our mind. What does that actually mean, to renew our minds? Have you ever thought, what is the meaning, renew our mind? The mind consists of our emotions, our will, and the intellect. How to renew it? What's the meaning of it? In simple terms, renewing of the minds is the exchange of your natural way of thinking for God's way of thinking. That means everything I start to look from the perspective of God's will. Not my will. Because the truth for my life is God's will. Not my will. So in exchange, when I say the renewing of the mind, I'm talking about an exchange for the lies for the truth. The lies that the world provides and gives for the truth that God gives. That, for me, is a mind that is renewed. Now, what is the impact of a mind that is renewed? A mind that is renewed will transform a life. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can I have the first slide, please? You see, whatever we are going through, the word of God says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though I walk, never be disabled where you are. Always be on the go, because go plus disable, you get this term, Godisable. You break it up, it is God is able. He will give you the strength to go through it. Can I have the next slide, please? The next one. The next one with the photo of the brain, if it's there. You all have heard of this term called stroke. So there are two kinds of stroke. One is called the ischemic stroke. The other one is called the hemorrhagic stroke. So when a patient gets a stroke, what is the first thing that, I mean, if you know someone who's had a stroke, or what's the first thing that they do? They ask for a scan, MRI or CT scan. They ask for a scan. And the reason for that scan is to differentiate between a hemorrhagic stroke and an ischemic stroke. Now, ischemic stroke means, stroke, what it means is a part of a brain is not getting enough blood. That means stroke. In heart, it's called infarct or heart attack. So in brain, usually they call it stroke in simple layman's term. Stroke means there's a part of a brain that does not receive sufficient amount of blood. That's the meaning of stroke. Now, when you say a hemorrhagic stroke, that means there is a bleed in the brain and the part beyond the bleed is not getting any blood. You get it? That's a hemorrhagic stroke. Can I have the next slide, please? So this is how a hemorrhagic stroke looks like. This is an ischemic stroke. Now, ischemic stroke means there is a blood clot somewhere and that clot is obstructing blood from coming to the next area. That's an ischemic stroke. So this is how an ischemic stroke looks like. So it is very, very important for the doctor to find out whether the patient comes maybe unable to talk suddenly, or suddenly one side he can't move. So it's important for the doctor to find out whether this is an ischemic stroke or a hemorrhagic stroke. Now the reason is, in an ischemic stroke, where the stroke is due to a blood clot, you give a clot breaker, in simple term, to break the clot. You break the clot and you hope that within the next few hours, the clot is broken, that part of the brain that didn't receive any blood will receive blood. Now, if it is a hemorrhagic stroke, that means it's bleeding and bleeding and bleeding, you want to give a clot former, F-O-R-M-E-R, in simple term, so that the bleeding will stop and small, harmless clots will be formed. So you have got a clot breaker and a clot former. Now, in your mind, can you imagine the difference of these two drugs? One goes to help to break all the clots. The other goes to help to form all the clots. So you have got a clot breaker, you have got a clot former. And the difference is so much. If you give the wrong medicine, you give a clot breaker to someone who's already having a hemorrhage, you're going to cause a hemorrhage and make it worse. You give a clot former to someone who's having an ischemic stroke, you're going to have more clots and make the stroke worse. So, a clot former and a clot breaker. Stay with me. A renewed mind brings about transformation. There was a person called apostle called Paul. He was on his way to Damascus. He was a clot breaker, aka church breaker. He was going to break the church. He wanted to pull Christians out from the church. He wanted to destroy the church. He wanted to get Christians killed. He was a clot breaker, a church breaker. And then on the way to Damascus, he comes and he experiences the presence of the God that renews his mind. And from a clot breaker, he becomes a clot former, a church former. He goes, he encourages Christians. He helps to form churches. He builds churches. That is what a renewed mind does. A radical transformation from a clot former, a clot breaker, a church breaker, to a clot former, a church former. A renewed mind brings about a radical transformation that can change an entire nation. At this point, as I was preparing this, the Holy Spirit was telling me to just say one thing. Parents who are praying for your children to be transformed, to be changed, don't give up. Don't give up. God sees your tears. He will renew the minds of the children that you're praying for. Don't give up. Second thing, first, a renewed mind brings about transformation. Number two, a renewed mind approves the will of God. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Now here I was thinking, it's written, this is in Romans 12:2. The latter part, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. I mean, I was thinking, who am I to approve God's will? Now, the Greek word for approve is dokimos, which actually means acceptable. Acceptable. That means, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and accept what God's will is. Now, here's the $1 million question. What is God's will? God's will is for us to be healed. Yes, true. God's will is for us all to be saved. Yes, true. But is that all that there is for God's will? Again, we go back to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is God's will. Everything that happens in heaven should happen on earth, which comes through a renewed mind. Let us all understand one thing. We all didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be our personal Savior so that we can just go to heaven. What are we supposed to do when we are on earth? We are supposed to bring heaven to earth while we are on earth. The purpose of a transformed, of a renewed mind is to bring God's will here on earth. Can I have the praise and worship team, please? When we speak of heaven, and when we say here, now we agree that actually we are supposed to bring God's will here on earth. And God's will is all that is happening in heaven should happen here on earth. Now here's the point to understand. Everything that happens in heaven revolves around God. There is peace, there is joy, there's a wonderful choir, there's no sickness, there is no diseases. All this happens in heaven, and that only happens because of one reason, and that's because of the presence of God. Heaven is God and God is heaven. It is the presence of God that defines the way things are done in heaven. It is the presence of God that defines the values, the system, the principles, the thermodynamics in heaven. It's all around the presence of God. So when we say that we are to renew our mind, that we will be able to test and approve and accept God's will, and God's will is what is in heaven to happen on earth, and what is in heaven all revolves around His will, around His presence. That means when I am a renewed person with a renewed mind, I carry the presence of God with me to implement what is happening in heaven to happen here on earth. That's it. A transformed mind is a mind that will execute God's will. What is God's will? All that is happening in heaven to happen here on earth. That's God's will. You know the story about Jesus going on a boat with his disciple? And with all his disciples, and then what happened? Suddenly there was a storm, and Jesus was sleeping through the storm. He slept through the whole storm. And his disciples came and woke him up. Frankly speaking, I thought the disciples would have been smarter by now. Because every time you're in the boat with Jesus, there's a storm. I don't know why they still go on a boat with Jesus. But here they are on a boat again with Jesus, and they do the same problem. They go and say, "Master, Master, we are dying, we are dying." And what Jesus says, he calms the storm, then he says, "You of little faith." Why did he say that? Is it really only a faith issue? See, These are people that Jesus said, you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to, and you can uproot that mountain of problem and cast it into the sea. When you and I carry that presence of God, we can do what He wants us to do here on earth. The issue that Jesus had, I believe, with the disciples was not an issue of faith, but it was this. Why are you telling me to do what I told you to do? That's a question Jesus is asking us sometimes. It's okay to ask heaven to come to earth. It's okay to ask God from heaven to handle the situation. But God wants us to be mature Christians where we co-labor with God in doing things for Him. I learned this the hard way. And I think I share this all with you. I used to have a very regular patient who used to come to the clinic, and over the 10 years, she was very regular. She's about 66-year-old, a grandmother. And then she had a very bad infection. So we referred her to the hospital and she deteriorated. To cut a long story short, she got admitted in the ICU in the hospital in Sultan Ismail. And suddenly the son calls me. They were ex-Catholics. They really didn't go to church for a long time. And the son calls me and says, Dr. Manoj, we don't know any other Christians. We left church a long time ago. Mummy is sinking. When you say sinking means, you know, she's in ICU, that means her condition is deteriorating. Can you come and pray for her? I thought, Alama. So I consulted my first pastor. My first pastor is my wife, Rachel. I said, what to do? What to do? I said, I don't know what to do. I've never done this before. Somebody's like, what, do I pray for salvation or do I let the person go? What to do? What to do? Then Rachel said, you pray for that person's salvation. Then you know, right? Sometimes husbands don't listen to their wives. So I quickly called Pastor Rajan. Pastor Rajan was in Seattle. I called Pastor Boy. Pastor Boy is in cell group. That day, everyone is having cell group. Every pastor is in cell group. What to do? You know, if there was a book, you know, you got a book saying dummies for computer. Dummies for computer, right? Something like that. Or dummies how to cook something. I wish there was a book, dummies how to be a pastor. I tried to Google up, you know, what to do. I really didn't know what to do. I think with Rachel, I just prayed. It was 10:30 at night. I couldn't go into the ICU, so I had to call someone like that and tell, there is a padre who's coming to pray for this person. That's the only way I could enter into the ICU at 10:30 at night. I went. I was very troubled because I've known this patient for nearly so many years, you know, 7-8 years. Every day she will come. She will come and she will talk. Sometimes she's healthy, but she'll just come for a chat. And to see her like that, all intubated, ventilated, all swollen like that, and all those machines. But that moment, I could feel the love of Christ, how Jesus wanted her to be saved. I could just feel it. And I prayed a prayer like I would pray for my own mother. You see, that's what a transformed mind can do. It makes you want to do what God in heaven wants to happen in earth. Now, God in heaven wants in earth everyone to be saved. And I just prayed. She's intubated, she's ventilated. That means when you ventilate a patient is literally brain dead. But when I prayed, I could see tears in her eyes. When I prayed, I could see her heart rate going up. Her blood pressure going. That means I know that somewhere inside she's listening. She can hear something. I believe that she accepted the Lord at a dying bed. You and I, we can have our strength renewed, our mind renewed. We should not always be like the disciples sleeping on a boat and expecting Jesus to do everything. Let us co-labor with Jesus and do on earth what He wants to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus.
You are my Father, provider, you're my deliverer.
Thank you,
your
Jesus.
Your mercies embrace me, surround me.
Thank you, Lord.
True everlasting love. You are my Father.
Thank you,
provider.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You're my deliverer.
Thank you,
your mercies embrace
you,
me,
Jesus.
Surround
you,
me. True
you,
everlasting
Jesus.
Love. Father, I worship you.
Lord, we worship you today, Lord. With our hands, we worship you. With our hearts, we worship you. With our lives, we worship you, Father. Father, we pray that you would make us strong. Lord, there are areas in our lives, dear Father, where we need that supernatural strength, that we would be able to rise like eagles, dear Father. And we pray, dear Father, from today onwards, we will raise our hands to worship you. We will bend our knees to pray, dear Father, and we would have a renewed heart, dear Father, a transformed life, dear Father, with a renewed mind, dear Father, that we would be your disciples here on earth to execute on earth, dear Father, what you want done as it is in heaven. For those who are praying for a healing, renew your strength, renew your faith. Our God is able to do it. His name is Jehovah Rapha. It is within his nature to heal. Don't give up. Don't give up. Be strong. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your understanding of Him. Be strong in your love to Him. Commit. Roll it all to Him. Roll everything to Him. Roll your burdens to Jesus. For a moment, will you forget what that blood result is saying? And would you just listen to the counsel and the comfort and the instruction of the Holy Spirit? For a moment. Those who are praying for your children, don't give up. Be strong. Be courageous. Your children are going to spend time seeking God. They will seek first the kingdom of God. That is God's will for them here on this earth. Pray, pray. Do not give up. Be strong in your faith. Be courageous again and again. Joshua had to be told 7 times to be courageous. Be courageous. Be strong in your faith. Your children will be saved. Your family will be saved. Father, we come before you, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who renews. And Lord, I pray for each one of us, O Lord, who has listened and heard this word, that you would renew our strength, that you would renew our mind, that we would be able to have our lives transformed and the lives of the people around us transformed for your glory, dear Father. We thank you, Jesus, for hearing every word that we have said. We thank you, Jesus, for looking into our hearts, comforting our hearts, speaking to our hearts directly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. We're going to have the Holy Communion now. Can we all just stand? And you can get your emblems ready. If anyone has not received the emblem, can you raise your hands, please? Anyone who's not received the emblem?
Oh, and your love is for me. And your love is for me. And your love is for me, and your love is forever. And your love is for me, and your love is for me, and your love is forever, forever and ever, God.
And your love is for me, and your love is for me, and your love is forever.
And your love is for me,
and your love is for me, and your love is for me, and your love is forever.
Shall we pray for the communion? Father, we thank you for your blood. We thank you, dear Father, for your body. And not because of what you did in this cross, our hearts can be renewed. Our minds can be renewed. We can have the strength. We can be courageous because of what you did on the cross. And Father, as we partake in this Holy Communion, we pray, dear Father, that our hearts and our minds will be renewed for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you want to accept Him, please say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I'm lost without you. Please come into my life and be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Can you put your emblems away? Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and worship Him.
'Cause you are my Father.
He will renew our strength.
You're my deliverer.
He will give us the strength of eagles.
Your mercies embrace me.
He will strengthen our faith. He will strengthen our health. He will strengthen our relationships. He is a God of strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. Thank you, Jesus, for your strength. We accept your strength, O Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You are my Father, provider. You're my deliverer. Your mercies embrace me, surround me, to your everlasting. You are my eyes, you are my Father, provider. You're my deliverer. Your mercies embrace me, surround me, to your everlasting love.
Father, I worship you. Father, I worship you.
Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that as we leave this place, we are going to get our strength renewed. We are going to be transformed. And what we are praying for is also going to get transformed. The situation is going to get transformed. The people are going to get transformed, dear Father, because of the renewal of their minds, oh Father. Father, we thank you. We raise our hands to worship you. We bend our knees to pray. And we come before you with broken hearts, with anxious hearts, that you, dear Father, would renew us every day. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray. Amen. With this, the service is over. Have a blessed, renewed week ahead. God bless.